Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Hour 2 here this Tuesday night. Tomorrow, Bobby Dooley walks into the studio to do another the Bobby Dooley podcast, and Bobby will be interviewing the great comic and podcasting pioneer, internet radio pioneer, Jimmy Pardo. Jimmy is hysterically funny. He's got a fantastic podcast / radio internet radio show that he does once a week. And he's one of the few guys that I've met who does sort of what we do on our show. He has premium content. He's got a subscription model. It's worked very, very well for him down through the years. So Bobby is going to be talking with him about that and more, and that'll be dropping on Friday. We've got Rick Overton, who is an amazing voice artist, does hundreds and hundreds of different kinds of characters. He will be visiting with Bobby as well. And then we know that we have John Ratzenberger in the offing as soon as John comes back from his travels abroad. And when I say abroad,
would you please clean that up?
His travels back east. John's back east right now. He will be with Bobby Dooley very, very shortly. All right. Before we move into the area here actually, we do want to talk with Doug Danger about Jason Collins, who became the first openly homosexual athlete in a major American sport last week when we were on vacation. So we have not had an opportunity to bring on some of the people that will comment on things like that. Doug Danger, who is a gay man and a gay journalist, self-described. I know he hates being brought on to talk about gay topics, but I was told by David G. Hall, who is our, you know, the guy who runs the syndication arm of our show, that we had to have on Doug Danger because he's the gay guy and, you know.
Well, you know that Doug is going to resent that because that is such a stereotype.
Yeah, well, just because he's gay.
Well, it makes sense, doesn't it?
No, yeah, but he always said he don't want to be brought on. He don't want to be seen as a gay man.
Well, then why does he call himself a gay man and a gay journalist if he doesn't want to be seen as a gay man?
He doesn't mind talking about the political aspects of the gay, but he will not. Let me underline that word, will not, N-O-T. It's a small word, Phil, but it means...
All right, I understand, Margaret. Would you get to it?
I'm just saying he will not comment on anything sexual.
I don't think there has to be anything sexual. It's about social... It's about socializing. It's about civil rights, human rights. That's what it's about. So we'll have Doug Danger on in just a moment. But first, a daughter was found with the three missing women, women missing for a decade. There was a child that one of these women had. This becomes a story that I want to just, you want to kill somebody, don't you? You not only have kidnapped and brutalized and raped and tortured three women, now a baby is born. And that child becomes a captive, and that child becomes, to the extent that you can do it, that child becomes warped. Although there's a photograph that was published today showing the mother, and I believe it was this young lady, Amanda Berry, with this child, and she looks like somebody who took care of that child very well and was a good mother. But this child found in Cleveland with the three women who have been missing for a decade is the daughter of one of them. The women who vanished in separate cases near their homes in Cleveland were found Monday, only miles from where they disappeared, and three brothers have been arrested in connection to the incident. These three brothers, by the way, they had their mugshots here momentarily, and man, are they ugly. God, these guys are the ugliest bastards you've ever seen. And talk about filthy. Why don't you get a bath, get these guys, scrub them up or something, give them a shower before you stick their ugly faces on TV. Where is that mugshot, man?
I don't know. Here's the story.
Well, here is the story. We're going to show it to our friends there on Phil TV. But the point that I'm making here is that whenever they pick these guys up, and I don't know when it was, they must have just gotten done, I don't know, licking a trench with their tongues or something, you know.
Yeah, man, they look dirty.
They look filthy. Maybe they're construction workers. I don't know. It's possible that they do some sort of manual labor or labor in a very dirty environment. But they didn't look happy, man. And that's okay with me. They looked very unhappy, and they looked filthy, and they looked for all the world like the dirty, filthy, despicable, grubby pieces of garbage that they are. And I said this, you know, I said this last night.
You're not going to talk, oh, God, don't do it, Phil.
Hold on for a minute. I think it's my duty to say what I perceive as a social commentator thank you.
Tell him, Mr. Henry, that's your right I was going to say as a gay man, but...
Yeah, that's...
Easy, okay?
You're not back as a gay man.
He didn't say that. You didn't mean to say that.
No, I was going to say it's Doug Danger, right?
What I'm saying is that these events, these stories, whether they are gunmen, whether they're this kind of abduction, these completely unacceptable stories of violence and physical assault and abduction are coming so fast and furious because of the informational speed that we have a hard time reacting to them. And in fact, I think we're getting overloaded. And I'm just going to tell you this right now. One of these days, there's going to be a crowd of people gathered around as they take these scum out of the van to lead them into the jailhouse. And we're going to see another, you know, Jack Ruby or something.
I think that was very irresponsible of you because you're going to encourage a nut to go out and do it.
Am I supposed to not say that because it might encourage... What if it encourages people to take extra steps to protect these prisoners as they're transporting them, you know?
Well, but what about the nut?
What about the cops that are encouraged to take extra steps?
Yeah, you're going to cost people money. Well, a nut doesn't cost nobody money.
Yeah, the nut does. The nut's going to go out and kill somebody, which is going to cost us... People think that it's going to save us the money of having to put on a trial. That's going to cost us all kinds of money in terms of investigating the nut that killed the guy.
Which is the nut, the guy or the guy that killed the nut? I forget.
Yeah.
I don't know, but they're both nuts, all right? I'm just telling you that we saw a lady do that already in one of these trials. Some woman walked up to some guy in a trial, and she blew his freaking head off. You remember that, right?
That's that lady with that child molester.
I remember that, yes. That was complete... That, I feel for that woman, what an irresponsible thing to do.
All right, I agree with you, but I'm just telling you, the human condition, we're just getting really tired of seeing this stuff. We really are. We're getting tired of seeing it. We're tired of smelling it. We're tired of looking at dead body. We're tired of looking at the smoke and the carnage and the mayhem and the searching, you know. And
do you say that justifies what happened to that one bomber in Boston?
What are you talking about?
Well, they killed the one young man, who had yet to be... Did you see the young man they killed?
Yeah, I saw the piece of garbage they killed. A good riddance to bad rubbish. And not only did they shoot his ass down, but then his brother ran him over. I think that's one for the Twit Olympics.
That's despicable.
No. What do you mean despicable? Not only did this jackass get shot by the cops, but for good measure, then his brother runs him over. Good one. Hey! You're not going to get me to feel any kind of sympathy for this scum. You know, all I got to do is think about that little boy. All I got to do is think about those two beautiful girls. All I got to do is think about that poor man in that wheelchair with his legs gone. Did you see that?
Excuse me, please.
Yeah, look, she's going to throw up.
Oh, man, you can't take it. Shut up.
Yeah, see? You sound like Roland Schwinn.
Oh, yeah, man.
What?
Oh, yeah, man.
Bud, make sure there's paper towels in there.
You're going to puke.
Moving on in this story here, Gina DeJesus, Amanda Berry, and Michelle Knight were released from Metro Health Medical Center this morning. A hospital spokeswoman did then say, "I've been kidnapped. I've been missing for 10 years," Berry told a 911 operator after breaking free, "and I'm here. I'm free now." God. After breaking free. The child was also carried out of the home, but the child's identity or age has not been released by police. The child is Berry's daughter, according to ABC News' affiliate WEWS Television. Police confirmed to WEWS that one of the men taken into custody is 52-year-old Ariel Castro. This was the guy that she was talking about in the 911 call. A background check shows he owns the home where the three women were living. Authorities believe Castro, who was once a city school bus driver, was keeping the women locked inside his modest two-story home, which he has owned since 1992. Police have not identified his brothers, who are ages 50 and 54. Charges could come as early as today. She identified Ariel Castro by name in her 911 call. Dispatcher pressed for information like what he's wearing. And this girl, I remember she was very frantic. She said, "I don't know. He's not here right now. That's why I ran away." She sounded like she was not really interested in giving a fashion show, you know.
Well, they wanted to know to identify him.
Yeah, but this girl is fighting for her life, okay? I'm not saying the 911 operator did anything wrong. I'm just saying we'll give you the details on his fine men's apparel at a future date. I got to get my ass out of here. Send a cop. All right, we'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Doug Danger coming up next. And we'll talk with him about Jason Collins, the first openly gay athlete in a major American sport, right after these messages.
Truth is our bitch.
I just think you're filthy minded. The Phil Henry Show.
I want that woman.
I said to stop that, Phil.
Keep doing it, Mr. Henry.
No, I'll stop. I was pretending like I was some hillbilly that abducted some woman and had her in a cellar, because we were talking about if this is, obviously this is going on, and the news. You see, I don't, it isn't true, folks, as much as some people would like you to believe it's true, that all of a sudden people started abducting women and hiding them in houses. Oh boy, I remember when I was a kid, they never did that. Really? Well, yes, they did. You just didn't hear about it because we didn't have near the investigative, we didn't have the consciousness of these things. And if we did, there was a lot more stuff that was pressing, you know? I mean, you think about it, folks. Do you realize that it's only been in the last 3 years, in the last 3 years, that they have finally identified all of the victims of what was up until that point one of the most devastating commercial occupational disasters this country had ever seen. It was a fire at a place called the Triangle Shirtwaist Company in New York City. And it happened at the turn of the century. And a fire broke out in a place where there were mostly immigrant women working. It was just the reality. They needed a job. They got off the boat. These guys that ran these factories hired them. You get paid whatever garbage can money they paid them. You can take a break and have your lunch, get your ass back in here, because we got to get this stuff done. And there wasn't anything called OSHA back in those days. And these women were essentially in this building. The back door had been chained shut because a lot of these gals would go outside and take a cigarette break. And the owners didn't want them doing that. They wanted them on the job. So they chained this door shut. Well, that's what sentenced most of these women to their deaths, because there was no way out. Some women busted out the windows and jumped out. Some women climbed to the roof of the building only to have to jump. The cops and the responding fire brigades didn't have near the kinds of rescue equipment that they have today. Many of these police officers were traumatized for the rest of their lives as they saw person after person jumping from this building to their death. Many of the bodies that they pulled out of there, most of the bodies they pulled out of there, burnt beyond recognition. They didn't know who they were. And in those days, the point that I'm trying to make is, in those days, they didn't have time to identify everything. There's a million things going on. There's a million things going wrong. You know, they were learning their own kind of lessons in those days. And one of the things was the tenements were filthy. And now there's this fire. We got to have occupational standards. And there's a war with Spain and whatever the hell. And the last thing that anybody was concerned with in those days was identifying every dead body that you saw. Some, just like there was a time when an unsolved murder was just the way it was. And more, we don't accept that now. Cops don't accept that anymore. They have cold case files. We have a shared database. We've got a forensics. We have, in other words, we have the assets and we have the tools now to solve these crimes, and they're not going to let them go anymore. There was a time, though, when, it just wasn't solved. The murder went, that's the way it is. And there was a time who is she? We don't know. Somebody's dead. We don't know. Well, they didn't let this one go, and they just now, in the last 3 years, identified the final three women from that fire.
Dead, what, like the ancestors?
I don't know. I don't know if they have any family or what the story was, but they finally got their names. They were all immigrants. These women, I think, that they identified were Russian. So, you know, we have a time and a place that we live in today where we can go after these problems a little more aggressively. We have the tools. We have the ability to get places faster, to get information faster, to disseminate information faster. We've got DNA. We have ways of identifying people, ways of not just identifying people, but the cars they drive. We have ways of identifying the clothes they wear. We have ways of figuring things out. But with all of that information comes a little bit of an information overload. And when you hear about three women that are abducted and held for 10, you're like, what the hell is that, man? Can you imagine? This has been going on since the beginning of time. Can you imagine what this must have been like back in the day, you know?
Well, that's why I don't like you doing the hillbilly.
I'm just saying, if I was a hillbilly with a woman locked in the cellar...
Phil, would you stop?
I would do.
Yeah, that woman down there is mine. You can't go near her. Mr. Henry's doing a billy voice. Mr. Henry's doing a owl.
I told you.
Don't reach over and hit him. I'm the guy that hits.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's pretty whack, man. So this guy Ramsey, the next door neighbor, this is the guy that everyone's imagination is captured by. And why not? He's just this... interesting chap that was living next door. He was eating McDonald's. He hears this girl screaming. He sees a girl, and he says she's going nuts. She's waving out through the crack of this door. And he says, if you're stuck, just open the door. She says, I can't. It's locked. So that's all he needed to hear. So he and the girl tried to pry it open. They couldn't do it. So he got his neighbor, and they kicked open the bottom of the door. He said it was cheap aluminum. She climbed out with her daughter. She went to my house, and we called 911. This guy, Mr. Ramsey, has been, you know, feted across the media landscape as the guy that saved them. He said they looked like they hadn't been fed for a long time. They were skinny when they came out of that house. The victims went to a hospital and were being examined. He said he'd barbecued with the home's owner. He never suspected anything was amiss. There was nothing exciting about him, he said, of course, well, until today. He said he was shocked when police told them who he had rescued. He said, do you know who you just rescued out of the house? I said, brother, a couple of females. He said, no. You got Amanda, you got Gina. These are the girls that have been missing. The saga began as three separate cases in August of 2002 when Knight, then in her 20s, was last seen by her cousin's house. Barry disappeared at age 16 on April 21st, 2003, the day before her 17th birthday. She called her sister to say she was getting a ride home from her job at Burger King. And then finally, on April the 2nd, 2002, almost a full year later, DeJesus, who was 14 at the time, she disappeared on her way home from school. The cases have consumed the Cleveland community for years. They gained national attention and were profiled on the Montel Williams Show and the Oprah Winfrey Show. The missing persons posters have been a part of the community for a decade by families who've refused to give up. Overnight, countless family members, friends, and even elated strangers cheered outside of the Metro Medical Center. You know, man, no wonder people don't give up.
Yeah, well, I mean, most of the people are going to be dead.
Oh, okay, well, thanks a lot, Dick Tracy.
Who's he?
A detective.
Well, I think that you know, if you lose a child, I think it stands to reason that the kid, and this is Frank, not me, these are his words, if you lose a child, within a few hours, the kid's...
Yeah, probably in a plastic bag.
In a plastic bag.
Well, isn't that a nice thought?
Phil, we have to be realistic.
All right, let's be realistic for a second. Jason J. Delmonico.
No, you're not bringing up my son. No, he's... No.
Yeah, no. Yes, I am. Yes, I am going to bring up your son. Jason J. Delmonico.
I said no, you will not bring up my son.
Why not?
Why not?
Because he's a special boy. And he's not... See, here's what you don't understand. My son's not going to get abducted.
Yeah, really? Why not?
And would you not ask me why not, please?
Why not?
Would you tell him not to do that?
No, I will not tell him not to do that. We want to know why not.
Don't ask. I told you, my son.
Ms. Ray, that toilet's backed up.
I don't care. I'll use it, and I'll let it run all over the floor.
Oh, boy, what a chicken.
No, I'm not.
You don't want to, you know why you don't want to talk about that, Margaret? Because you don't want to face the possibility and the reality of it. You had better do both.
Don't tell me what to do, or I swear to God I'll go again and I'll really let this thing overflow.
What a baby. Get in there, bud.
I don't want to clean it up. It's going to make it overflow and everything.
Ah, quit crying, man. Go get a mop and do your job like a man.
Yeah, go on.
Probably had cheese, too.
Shut up. Wow, that's whack. So, there you go, folks. You don't know who's living next door to you. I remember when I was a kid... Well, I tell you what, let's get Doug Danger on the line here. Are we all out of time? All right. Next segment, we're going to have Doug Danger talking about Jason Collins. But we had a family that lived down the street from us. And the name of the family was Sepulveda. Now, if you know the city of Los Angeles, you know that we have a street called Sepulveda. That's because there was a family named Sepulveda, very early settlers in this area. And this family at the end of the street was a part of that family. And man, wow, they were way out there.
What'd they do?
They were kooky. I walked by that house one day, and I saw the older son creeping through the bush. It creeped me out, man. I just picked up a rock and threw it at him and said, get out of there. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show with Doug Danger.
I hope the Sepulvedas sue you. Oh, they sue you.
Yeah.
Phil Henry.
Here the world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And we've got Doug Danger on the line here. We will be speaking with Doug momentarily about Jason Collins and just and also the story here. It's not only Jason Collins, but there's also a story here. And I got Dan, excuse me for a moment, folks. I'm sorry. But what we've got is a audio situation here where the bloody audio from some of these clips shows up. And is that Dan Patrick?
Oh, God, get that off of there.
Take it easy, I will. Dang it. All right, so anyway, let's get Doug Danger on the line here. I'm sorry, Doug, to keep you waiting. I was trying to show my audience on Phil TV, I was trying to show them the story, the Barkley story, but it came accompanied with Dan Patrick.
Dan Patrick, I heard you sort of disrespect Dan Patrick a little bit. I just want to say I like Dan Patrick a lot, Phil, and I think I know you're a big Jim Rome fan and you're a big Scott Farrell fan, and, man, I can't feature that. I'm into professionalism. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? We're talking, you wanted me to come out and talk about gay, I'll go full bore. I'll go all the way to the gay wall on it, you know?
But, Doug, first of all, I would like my audience to understand.
Hold on. Please don't take that tired, worn out tone with me, Phil. I'm coming on the program. You want me to go down gay highway? I'll go down gay highway and I'll get off on, I'll get off the gay off ramp and I'll go in the gay section.
Well, Doug, we appreciate that. But Phil, I think he wants to say that you're a little defensive. We don't mean to attack you.
Well, Phil is going to say that, I shouldn't talk about being gay. I have traveled the gay road. No one knows Gay Street like I do.
Okay, can I ask something right now?
Whoa, there, sunshine. Hold on, man. Not even done. I'm not even out of the gay gate. See, as a gay man, as a gay journalist, one of the things that I've done here over the last, say, 2 years is I'm working into my writing and I'm working into the lexicon of what it's meant for me to come out of the closet. Now, you're talking about some guy that plays in the National Basketball Association. He came out of the closet. Well, let me just stop the world. Let me off. I'm just all so blown away by that, you know?
Yeah, blown.
You know, I'm going to come down there, and I swear to God, I will kill him. I don't care if I go to prison. I will kill him.
Bud, shut up, okay?
I didn't do anything wrong.
According to me, according to my gay justice...
You're talking about Gay Street and gay justice. You don't have your own country.
I've got my own opinion, Mr. Dickman, okay? And my opinion is the gay Republic of Doug. Do you understand?
Yeah, but you can't treat everybody as if we're all subjects to your regal authority.
No, I'm not saying that. But I'm telling you, have you been down Gay Street?
What are you talking about Gay Street? Are you saying am I gay? No, I'm not gay.
No, I'm not. I didn't ask you that, did I, man? I'm asking you.
Hold on, Doug. I want to know something. Are you defensive tonight, or do you not want to be on the air with me?
I want to be on the air. I want to talk about Jason Collins. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Who else are you going to get?
You said you don't really like doing gay topics.
I never said that. I said I don't like, I won't talk about gay sex because that's what the straight people get their kicks hearing about. See, a lot of these straight guys especially, they say they don't like gays. They don't want to go down Gay Boulevard. But boy, I tell you what, if you gave them a free ride down to Gay Street, man, they'd be walking up and down the lanes of Gay Village.
What is it with Gay Street and Gay Village?
Yeah, I thought it was one of the same thing. What, this new way of talking?
What?
What are you talking about, Gay Street and Gay Village and Gay Boulevard, and have you been down?
Well, there you go again. See, what you want to do is laugh it off. You want to laugh the gay experience off, Phil, That's fine. But I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I don't laugh it off. I swim in it. Or as the sheriff in Raging Bull said to Jake LaMotta, live in it, son. Live in it.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people have been quoting that film, including Margaret. Margaret, haven't you?
Yes, I like that. I say that, too. Live in it, son. Live in it. What it means is, this is my opinion. This is my... These are the clothes I wear. Yes, this even sometimes is my body odor.
Oh, God.
Shut up. Yes, sometimes I have a... There's a smell to me. Live in it, son.
Margaret's laughing.
No, she isn't. She's caught. You all right?
I'm fine. I was gagging up.
Why?
I was thinking about Frank, okay?
That good or bad?
That's none of your business, you turd. You turd in a suit.
Look, Phil, I don't want to be on the air if you're going to have fistfights and all that.
Okay, I would like you to be on the air, but I'd like you to answer my questions. Is that too much to ask?
No, that's not too much to ask.
All right. Doug Danger is with us here as we talk about Jason Collins. Let's talk about this kid, Jason Collins, and also Charles Barkley weighing in. Jason Collins became the first openly homosexual athlete in major American team sports when he wrote an account in Sports Illustrated describing his experience as a gay player in the NBA. The 12-year veteran contacted the magazine because he wanted to use their forum as the platform to tell the world his story. On April 29th, Dan Patrick broke the story of Collins coming out, and it immediately rose to the top of the sports news cycle. The response to Collins' decision has been overwhelmingly positive, but the concept of playing with a gay player is still a major talking point across the world of sports. Former NBA star Charles Barkley joined the Dan Patrick Show and talked about Collins' decision to come out, telling Patrick about his experience with gay players in the locker room. That was what we were trying to listen to, right?
Well, yeah, that was the piece of that interview, but, look, Charles Barkley is not the guy to go to if you want to talk about gay man, gay experience. He was talking about everyone who has played in the NBA has had a gay teammate at some point. I don't think that takes any imagination. I think if you're an American and you don't believe that gay people have been in every single walk of life, and some of these walks of life people just cannot accept. I've talked to straight guys that refuse to believe that there have been gay soldiers. Well, I hate to break the news to you there, Bubba. They're not only been gay soldiers, there have been gay soldiers that have won medals. There have been gay soldiers that have saved the lives of straight people. There's and there have been gay doctors, and there's gay football players.
What about lacrosse?
Don't start pissing me off, man.
What do you mean lacrosse?
I don't know.
But, I won't be able to hold the crowd back. You're going to get mobbed, and you're going to get lynched, okay?
What do you mean?
That's a good point. Lynch, bud. Meaning we're going to string you up, hang you from a tree.
All right, let's not get too ugly.
God, what is up with you people? You realize that's an ugly stereotype? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Yeah, and what?
Period. That's an ugly stereotype. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. It's the way I sign off.
All right, we're talking with Doug Danger here. Let's get to the point, can we? That would be nice.
Yeah, for once tonight it would be nice.
All right, we're going to get to the point here on this particular segment with Doug Danger. We're talking about Jason Collins, who has come out as a... I want to ask you, Doug, for the gay athlete who is not out, and if there hadn't been yet a Jason Collins, what is it like, do you perceive, just speaking as a gay man, what's it like being gay in the NBA?
Well, I mean, being gay in the NBA is the same as being gay in any other sport. You keep your mouth shut. You don't say anything about it. People say, hey, do you want to come out and have a drink? And there's going to be chicks there or something. Sometimes you say sure, and you sit down, you chat up the women, and it's all good. Or if you're too busy or you've got something else going on, you tell them that, But you put on the appearance for all to see that you're straight. And I'm a gay man and a gay jerk. But here's the thing that I want to talk about, Phil, if you don't mind. Can I just change the subject?
Go ahead.
Jason Collins, everybody is giving this guy, they're kissing his rear end up one side and down the next. Even given a little bit of tongue, I mean, they're just dragging their tongue right along a butt cheek on this guy because he come out clean, and he come out gay. Now, he comes out clean and gay, and he comes out fast. Now, I gotta hand it to him. Most guys, when they come out of the closet, they come limping out, and they come crawling out, and they're looking around to see if the coast is clear. And then they come, sort of, I don't know what you call it, almost like waddling out of the closet, Some guys will come out with
What difference does it make how they're coming out? They're coming out.
Well, I'm just telling you, Phil. If you don't mind me saying, I happen to be a gay man and a gay journalist. Is that all right with you?
Yes, you know, some guys come out slow.
I'm telling you that this guy, Collins, came out clean, quick, and brisk. Okay?
Yeah, uh-huh.
For what?
What are you laughing at?
If you're laughing, man.
Of course I'm laughing. He come out clean, quick, and brisk. Oh, man.
Well, all right. You know, Phil, I tell you what. Why don't you just go ahead and round up every gay you can find and castrate them? Because that's what you're doing right now on your show tonight. Goodbye. I better stay on now because I stumbled over my word.
I'm sorry?
I'm going to stay on the air because I stumbled over. I was going to have a big exit and hang the phone up, but I went like that.
Yeah, well, that's where you sound most of the time.
Yeah, well, I'm just mimicking you, man.
Yeah.
God.
All right. So, Jason Collins, this guy, you wanted to say something about Jason Collins?
Well, what I want to say is this. I want to say that Jason Collins, as a gay man, as a gay basketball player, he come out, and he come out good. And he come out...
All right, enough with the clean and brisk. He came out.
Yes, he did. He came out, and he didn't have to come out in the environment that a lot of us had to come out in. When I came out of the closet, it was brutal. Brutal! You come out and say, hi, I'm gay. Within 5 minutes, your first death threat arrives. Within 10 minutes, somebody's made an attempt on you. Within 15 minutes, somebody tried to kick your ass. Within 20 minutes, your mother wants to kick your ass. I'm telling you, just in quick succession, I had within a half an hour, everybody in the office, my mother, my brother, my father, and my grandmother, all of them wanted to kick my ass around the block for drill.
When you...
Okay, that's it.
Well, I can't help it.
Bill, if you're going to laugh at a gay man, you have to be tasteful about it.
Huh? What does that mean?
Yeah, you laughed at a gay man.
Oh, shut up. You know, some people are going to think that we're anti-gay on this show. We are totally pro-gay rights. Doug is the guy that's over the top here.
Well, I mean, you're laughing at him when he was talking about coming out clean and brisk.
I've never heard of anybody say, any gay person say, I came out of the closet clean and brisk. What does that mean? What does it mean?
Well, it means that I come out, it was quick and it was clean.
They came down, I know, Phil, it sounds ridiculous, but what I'm trying to do is give you the gay perspective.
I just had the gay perspective, and the guy hung up.
All right, bud, try to get Doug back on the air, will you?
Yes, ma'am.
Now...
How'd you get him to call you ma'am?
Never mind. Doug is saying simply this. You travel down Gay Street, it's a lonely street. Gay Street?
Would you stop?
I tried.
I got Mr. Danger.
Okay. Doug, I'm sorry I offended you.
All right, well, I'm sorry I hung up. Where were we?
Yeah, well, let's take a break.
What a dirty trick.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back to talk more about the announcement by Jason Collins, the first major athlete to come out as a gay person, and Doug Danger, gay man and gay journalist from the Orange County Courier, will be with us as well as we close out this hour on this Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Doug Danger is with us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we discuss Jason Collins, who came out as a gay man in the NBA last week. And now let's listen here, Doug. We have the Dan Patrick segment as he talks with Charles Barkley, the former NBA star. Oh, you can't hear any audio? Sorry. All right, I apologize, everybody. I thought we could get some audio going, and we were not able to off of this clip. So that's whack. You know what I'm going to have to do, man, is run it off of the main machine. So in any event, what Barkley is saying there is that, of course, I played with gay players. Everybody did. Doug Danger joining us from the Orange County Courier. Do you want to comment on that, Doug?
Well, my comment on anything Charles Barkley says, I think Charles Barkley has done a very good job of rehabilitating himself as some forward-thinking guy. I remember when Charles Barkley was a meathead, and I say that I like Charles Barkley. I love watching him play basketball, you know. But I think anybody who knows anything about basketball and Charles Barkley knows that he was a real meathead. He had a lot of things to say that were derogatory about people. I can easily see this guy as I'm not buying it, you know. But
essentially what he's saying is that they played with a gay player. Do you believe that?
Hold on for a minute. Turn that down, will you? I got my niece and my nephew are here. My brother and his wife are taking a vacation in the Panama Canal. Are you ready for that? So I got my niece and nephew.
Oh, what are the names?
I got Darren and Leslie here. Hey, turn that down, you guys. Go. You want some more ice cream? Go get some more of that. My brother and his wife, my sister-in-law, Caroline, I mean, I love them, and they take these exotic, but now they're going to the Panama Canal, and I think next year they're going to go see the Hanging Gardens of Babylon or something. I don't know what the hell they're doing, but they always, and I love my niece and nephew. I mean, I love them. I love having them here. It's a lot of fun, but they're up real late watching TV here.
Don't they have school?
Yeah, they do, but, you know, it's almost the end of the school year. Both of them are going into middle school. Isn't that right? Leslie, what grade are you in, honey? Yeah, she's going into middle school, and her brother's, I think, going into middle school, too. So, anyway, what I'm trying to say to you is that Charles Barkley, I mean, yeah, big deal. They used to call him the round mound of rebound because he was a big, fat tub of guts, but he could fly through the air with the greatest of ease. I never did buy that. I never did understand that. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. You tell me that a big, fat tub of guts can fly through the air like he's got flubber on his ass. I'm sorry.
All right, why don't we watch our language a little bit? You got your niece and nephew there.
They're not here right now. They're getting ice cream, man, okay? The point that I'm trying to make is, did you ever buy Barkley?
Well, what am I going to say about Charles Barkley? If he's a big, fat tub of guts and he can still fly through the air like he's got flubber on his you-know-what, then I guess the guy is good.
Well, either he's good or he's getting some assist. I'm not saying there's such a thing as flubber, but I'm saying, how does a fat ass like that fly through the air with the greatest of ease? So I don't believe him when he talks about that, and now he's trying to tell me about the gay. Now, I look at Charles Barkley, and I know that guy hasn't even sniffed the gay exit. You know what I mean by that, Phil? Hey, Phil?
What? What do you want, man?
What an ass.
Phil, you can't yell at people like that.
What? You know, I'm listening to this guy. So, you know what I mean, Phil? You know? Just spit it out, man.
Yeah, I was going to talk about, you know about the gay exit.
Yes, I know about the gay exit. He was about to start going down this freaking road again. Oh, excuse me. He was about to go down the gay road again.
Yeah, that's what he got said.
Oh, I see. Thank you. And, of course, Doug has been on the gay freeway, and he knows where the gay exit is, but Charles Barkley, he doesn't know, so he wouldn't know anything about gay players.
Well, he may be right. Charles Barkley is, after all, not gay, so as you'd notice, you see.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, I don't think I've ever seen him with a woman, have you?
Yeah,
I've
seen him with a lot of women when he goes out on some, you know, particularly visual, like an event, you know.
What do you mean, an event?
Like a prize fight, you know?
Yeah, so I'm at the Mayweather fight.
You did?
Well, no, but I should have.
Whatever that means. But if the guy is, I've seen him at prominent social events with a woman.
Well, he could go to one of those escort services.
Okay, Margaret, what's your point? Charles Barkley is gay? He may be. But the whole reason, I'm not here to talk about Charles Barkley right now. I'm here, what, bud?
Doug Danger.
The guy's got a pair on him, man, I swear to God. Hey, Doug, you know my policy about hanging up, don't you?
Yeah, well, you know my policy about somebody saying to me that, that Charles Barkley is some kind of a rehabilitated fat ass. And then you're spitting at me, man. I just told you, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And I asked you, had you been at the gay exit?
You know...
Have you or have you not broken down and had to turn off at the gay exit?
No, I have not broken down and had to turn off at the gay exit.
All right, so you don't know what's going down. And Charles Barkley comes on, and he's talking to this guy, Dan Patrick. Now, there's a guy, as far as I... When I look at Dan Patrick, there's a guy that I think has said, fill her up at the Union 70 Gay. Okay? Okay, Phil?
Yes.
Oh, are you all pissed off?
I didn't want to yell it because you're going to be So Dan Patrick is gay.
I didn't say that.
Well, yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Well, you did, Dan, because you said that Dan Patrick has filled up at the Union 70 gay.
Right. I said he took the gay exit. Maybe he needed a fill-up.
Well, what does that mean? Does he, in other words, he's dabbled in bisexuality or something?
I didn't say that.
Come on, Doug, you got to say something.
I'm spilling it out. I'm spitting it out right now. Dan Patrick looks like he's been in the fast lane on the gay parkway. And
whatever that means.
Oh, give me a... You don't know what that means.
We're not here, Dan.
Let's clear your throat there, Butch.
You know something? I've got plenty left for you, too, big guy.
Well, I'm sorry to have to say that, but sometimes your voice breaks down, Margaret, and I might as well be talking to Orson Welles. Have a very good evening. By the way, I give your show tonight, Phil, one gay thumb up and 11 gay thumbs down, and I only have 10. So what's... I've got 10 in my mind.
You have 2 in reality.
Right, and I'm giving it 11 down, so I'm going to have to find some other thumbs. I don't know what I'm going to have.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.